Well, I stand giving honor to God, who's truly the head of the great Christian church. I stand without his, I cannot stand without his strength, his power, or his might. I give honor to our pastor, Dr. Ronnie Phillips, who so graciously allowed me to have this opportunity to stand before you this morning. And of course, I give honor, thank you, sir, to this great staff here at Abba's House. So many minds have went into even helping me for today. Last night, I caught a glimpse for the first time of just the graphic of the title of my message, and it just blew me away. So, I mean, this place here at Abba's House, if you don't have a church home, I'm putting the plug in now. This is the place to go. You see us, we train our young ones all the way up to our adults. Now, I also want to take this time to acknowledge my family and my friends. I mean, some who have traveled so far and spent a night in a hotel just to come when they could just hear me on the phone. And then just the support from the family and everything. So I just want to thank each and every one of you publicly in case I don't get to that, okay? Well, down to business. So those who have their sword in hand, or you can gaze upon the screen, I'd like for you to turn to Psalms 139, beginning with verse 7 through 10. Psalms 139, beginning 7 through 10. Now, my mom, she's sitting here on the front row, is 86 years old. And she loves going to church. She loves going so much that if she never driven, but if she can't get a ride there, she calls a cab. So she's been at this same church for 70-some years. So to get her here this morning, I'm just thrilled. So, because she don't like missing her church. And she gave me a little mother wisdom before I start, that was, she leaned in my ear and she told me this. She said, "Now, son, I'm telling you now, I know what makes a good preacher. I heard a lot of them." She said, a good preacher is somebody who will stand up, speak up, then shut up and sit down. Oh, wait a minute. The way y'all clapping, a lot of y'all thinking like we don't want to be here all day. So let's not. I gave you time to get there. Psalms 139, beginning with verse 7. And you'll find these words written in the New King James. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you help us this morning to catch a glimpse of the truth of your word. Father, let our eyes be open to the love that you have for us, and let the words from my mouth speak words of encouragement, words of hope, as you breathe life in everyone here today. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. The title of this morning's message is Hope in the Hypothetical. Hope in the Hypothetical. Webster describes the word hypothetical as a condition, as a scenario, or a situation that has a possibility of something that could happen or it may happen. A hypothetical is important because it gives the mind a different perspective. Now, although a hypothetical is based off of a theory or an idea that may not necessarily be real or true, a hypothetical actually sets the imagination on a journey. And beloved, life within itself is a journey. And when we are not sure of a certain outcome or which road to take, as a child of God, we have been given a GPS, God's purpose spoken in the form of a book we call a Bible. And if we lack understanding, all we have to do is ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom. See, we know this from the promise in James. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. See, the world may get paralyzed at the uncertainty of not seeing the evidence of a way out. But we as a believer, we can lean more toward the probability that no matter what happens in this life, it will work out for our good. Because God works all things together for good for those who love him. Is that right? And called according to his purpose. You're going to have to talk back to me or I'll be here. See, we are reminded in 1 Thessalonians that we don't grieve like the rest who have no hope. So therefore, we should never make a permanent decision on a temporary situation as if God cannot change us or change our situation. Our faith should serve as a shield against hopelessness and despair. See, we have hope in the hypothetical, and in this text, David, he presents us with four of those hypotheticals. But first, he begins by asking a rhetorical question. Now, a rhetorical question is a figure of speech in the form of a question that is asked to make a point, or either is used to draw out a response rather than to receive an answer. See, David asks, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? See, David knows there is no place in this universe where we can escape from the control and the authority of God. This is not a question of him trying to get away. This is about God getting to you. No matter how far you stray, no matter how long you've been away, the love of God is coming after you. See, David knows you cannot hide from someone who has already searched you and he knows you. Oh, he tells us that in verse 1 of this same chapter. He said, Lord, you have seen what's in my heart. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. So as long as we got breath in our bodies, I repeat, the Lord is after you. So number one, hypothetically speaking, it is a place of pursuit. See, whether David was sitting in a green pasture watching his father's sheep, just thinking about the goodness of God, or the time when David was fleeing for his life and he hid in the cave of Adullam, David had that assurance that God was with him. God was there and God used him. And I believe that because the Bible said that all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented, they gathered around him. I believe that these men had hope in a hypothetical because David had not rightfully taken his place as a king. And so I contend to you, my brothers and sisters, whether we are in a peaceful season or a season of turmoil, our faith is always on trial because Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is always seeking our destruction. So we must daily be in pursuit, seeking after God with the assurance that he loves us and he has our best interests at heart. See, our desire should be that we draw near to God with a sincere heart to know him and be more conformed to the image of Christ. And even when we are not passionate in our pursuit, because of the mercy and the grace of God, he is still passionately pursuing us. This method of using a rhetorical question was first demonstrated by God in the garden with Adam and Eve. When God asked Adam, "Where are you?" Where are you? And the response he got was they covered themselves with leaves, hid behind a tree as if that was camouflage to God. And sadly, but it's true, that mindset still exists today. Where we are covering ourselves up with stuff that is inadequate. Or we'll cover ourselves up with work and you can't work your way in. Or we'll cover ourselves up with good deeds, but all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We'll cover ourselves up with religious activities when all God wants from us is for us to uncover our sinful heart and have a relationship with him. When Cain killed his brother was another time that God used a rhetorical question. He asked two, "Where is your brother? And what have you done?" See, God knew again what had happened because he said, "Cain, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." See, life is in the blood. And the only true covering is the blood of Jesus. And it was his blood that covered it all. And it was his blood that washed away all our sins. And that's good news this morning, that we should be spreading that Jesus has paid it all. So I'm prompted this morning to ask you, Abba's house, a rhetorical question. Where is your brother and sister? Yes, sir. And what have you not done? Now, I'm not accusing you of killing your brother or sister, but my point is that I'm trying to make is why leave them out there to die when you know that this is a house of grace? Hypothetically speaking, what would happen if you brought them to a place where they can find hope and hear about the love of Jesus and a God who pursues them? See, he's not a God like a puppet master that is sitting in heaven just pulling strings to make us move this way or that way. We serve a God who allow us to make choices. But he lovingly pursues us, especially when our decisions cause us to get off track. He's there to lead us and guide us in a way that we should go. And he does not leave us to ourselves. He is a God who knows us completely, yet he still relentlessly pursues us. So number two, not only is it a place of pursuit, but it's a place of preparation and provision. Verse 8, he said, "If I ascend into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." See, God has prepared for for us. When we are in need, he has prepared green pastures for us to rest in. He has prepared still waters for when we are troubled. He has prepared salvation for the lost. He has prepared his word to guide us through this world. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. And God has even provided for us a mansion in his glory. Yes. Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe in me, because in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. But against our spirit, our flesh wants us to reject the mansion and move into a duplex. This body is the temple of God. So we need to stop giving God an eviction notice. David, he declares, even if my body is in the grave, you are there. Because nothing can separate me from the love of God. Beloved, I understand, like you, that when life takes a toll on us for the worse, it becomes easy to question whether or not God is still there. And it's at that moment in our life that the word if becomes big, and it can either be a stumbling block that will stagnate us, or it can be a stepping stone that will project us into the Father. Beloved, if we are not careful, we're going to miss this obvious truth that most of us have a hard time just getting past. David, he begins this truth with the word if. If for us is a choice that God has given to everyone. All right. See, if is never placed in the condition where it's dependent on what God would do first. God always plays if before man, giving him the responsibility to respond. If is used 1,595 times in the scripture. And my friend, it would serve us well to remember the ones that are for our benefit that will help us avoid the consequence. Yes, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. All right. The blessing if you obey the commands. Yeah. The curse if you disobey. I believe that God used David to write this psalm because he knew that it was a weakness for most of us. Because if opens up the landscape of a potential possibilities. All right. If. Yeah. Wow. If is the unknown. All right. That could haunt our dreams. and give us sleepless nights.
Yes, sir.
If can be that monster who shows up in your bedroom at night. He'll help you fluff your pillow, and just when you're about to doze off, if will disturb your rest with, what if?
Yeah, yeah.
What if that check don't come tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
What if the doctor finds something in that checkup?
Yes, sir.
What if you lose your job? Or what if you lose your house? What if your spouse walk out on you?
Yeah.
If will wake you up,
yes,
in the middle of the night,
yes,
and cause you to worry about your children. What if your teenage daughter gets pregnant?
Yes,
what if she's sending inappropriate pictures? What if she's being drawn to a lesbian lifestyle?
All right.
What if your son is involved in something that you don't know about?
All right.
What if it leads him to homosexual tendencies? What if he's messing with alcohol or drugs that are left on your shelf?
Yes, sir.
What if?
What if?
If we're not careful, if is enough by itself to drive us in despair.
All right.
If can make the strongest man or the strongest woman hate the morning and fear the night. If is enough by itself to make you afraid to get out of bed.
All right.
If will make you pull the covers over your head.
Yes, sir.
But number three, not only is a place of pursuit, a place of preparation, but it's a place of his presence. Because in his presence, in the presence of God, we find fullness of joy. We find strength for our journey. And behold the majesty of the King. In the place of his presence, we become intimate with him, and we have a chance to know the true God of the universe. I'm excited about being in the place of his presence, because if there's in his presence, it's where he sees me faultless.
Yeah.
See, David said, God is with us. He wants us to know God is with us in our highs and in our lows. God is with us in our good days and in our bad days. David is saying to us, no matter what state you find yourself in, God will be there.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yeah.
David, he does not leave it at the what if after I die, the afterlife, when our souls leave this earth. He brings our attention back to the right now. We need a right now word.
All right.
He brings us back to what if, while I'm still alive, he asks, what if I take the wings of the morning?
Yes, sir.
The word wings in the Hebrew, it implies swiftness and extremity. David is describing what if out of nowhere, swiftly, without notice, I'm swept up. What if you're knocked off your feet or the rug is snatched out from under you? In other words, your happiness can turn to heartache and your song to sorrow in the blink of an eye. Beloved, sometime we can just wake up in the morning planning on doing our normal routine when something as simple as a phone call can wreck our day.
Right.
It could be hearing the news of a death or any type of information that will break our hearts or bring us pain.
All right.
David said, what if I find myself dwelling in the uttermost part of the sea? The uttermost part means the extreme part. It's that part where you have reached the end of human ability. It's when the doctor shakes his head and says, there's nothing else we can do. It's when you've done all you know how to do. You dotted your I's, you crossed your T's, and nothing ever changed. How do I know that this uttermost part is a bad place? Because the word seas means roaring water. Seas are the birthplace of storms. And all throughout the scriptures, the seas denote chaos, trouble, and strife. But beloved, we saw where Israel had came to the Red Sea. But over in Revelations, we find hope. Because Jesus said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any more seas. See, God is going to do away with sea. And when he do away with the sea, there will be no more conflict. There will be no more chaos. There will be no more strife. Where there is no seas, there is no potentials of a storm. The hypothetical can swiftly become a reality because these are what I name real life situations. And life, beloved, can bring depression not only in the reality of a thing, but merely in the possibility of a thing. When the doctor said he did find something, that not was breast cancer, or you have been diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Yes, sir.
All of a sudden, you have moved from the hypothetical to the actual. And beloved, we need to know, we have hope in the hypothetical, but more so, we need to know we have hope when our hypothetical becomes our actual. So that leads me to my last point. It is a place of peace. It's a place of peace. Verse 10, David says, even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that all right? See, beloved, those I find are the two most comforting words that I read in my Bible. Even there. Even there when your tears flow like water. Even there when you feel all alone. Even there when you know you blew it. God's promise, and he will give us peace to all whose minds are stayed on thee. So saints, where is our hope in the hypothetical found? We find it in verse 10 of this text, in the hand of God. God has both hands on us. One hand is keeping us steady. It's guiding us and leading us and navigating us through our situations. See, in the Hebrew, that hand is described as an open hand. And then we got the right hand. The right hand of God in the Hebrew is a closed hand. See, the Lord lays hold on his people and he apprehends them for himself. And for assurance, he will not let go. So we got one hand is open, we're in it, and one hand is closed, we've been held in, and no demon in hell can get to us. That closed right hand of God is where we find peace. Even in a world where we have trials and tribulations, we have a place of peace because he has overcome this world and has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. In this place of peace, we lie down and sleep because he alone makes us to dwell in safety. And lastly, his word tells us to be anxious about nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, presenting your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. It is in the hand of Almighty God, whether it is an open hand or a closed hand, it is the best place to be. So I want to ask you this morning, whose hand are you in? Whose life are you trusting your life? Do you find yourself in the safety or the arms of Christ?
All right.
You just heard that no matter where we at, God's love, it pursues us. Wow. Man, the bakery just opened up. Well, let me say it to where you can understand me. You know how you drive down Brainerd Road past the Krispy Kreme and that red light start flashing? I'm starting to smell the bread. I'm talking about bread from heaven. And I heard in my spirit that we can clap, we can say yay, and we can say amen. But a lot of us are sitting here and we lost hope. We lost hope in getting that promotion. We lost hope in thinking that we're going to ever be considered somebody. We lost hope in even thinking that we're good enough. Oh. We lost hope in our finances. Thinking we're going to always have to go from hand to mouth. Here's what we're going to do. We got plenty of time. First, I'm going to give an invitation for those who need hope in Jesus. And I'm going to ask the pastors to come down that are here. And if you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't want you to think that all these ifs sound iffy. But there's hope even in the hypothetical. There's hope in Jesus. And if you place your hope in him, I promise you, you'll never be the same. Because my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And then this second part of this invitation is simply for those who you are saved. Oh yeah, you surrendered your life. But because there's a season in your life right now where you lost hope. You've been disappointed. You've been let down. And you think God has forgotten you. I'm telling you, if you are bold enough and courageous enough to come down here and let these pastors or myself pray for you, you're going to see a turnaround. You're going to see a change. And after we finish this invitation, I want to be clear. I have one more assignment. So I don't want you to get up and rush to the restaurant just yet, because I need to take a special offering. As Pastor Denise alluded to earlier, this is the month of participation. It said tithes and offerings. I already gave. It's tithes and offerings. So there's nothing wrong with doing it twice. Get double blessed. So first, and I said that so the ushers can be prepared, but first we want you to stand. As we used to say, the doors of the church is open. And I invite you to come. Is there one in here? I don't believe God lied. Come, Holy Spirit. Don't leave out of here and cry by yourself in a car or in a dark room when you're surrounded by brothers and sisters who can go to God on your behalf. You don't have to leave out of here the same way you came in. So we're going to give it a moment.